All right, so I want to scratch the surface of this teaching. I know for sure the Lord is very interested in me talking about this. I also know that Satan is very scared. Now, I'm not too sure why he's that scared, because this is one of the teachings that he has fought so much over the last several days. There's just so much attack and so much fight and different things about it. I can understand why the Lord wants us to get into it, because you talk about purpose and talk about purpose and talk about purpose. And a lot of times people say, but you know, exactly how do I fulfill this purpose? You know, so this has been in my heart since the beginning of the year, to do a part after all of the preaching in January, to do something that I called the predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. The predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. Sometimes if you are not careful, purpose can become such a cliche. Everybody talks about purpose and purpose and purpose. And we have certainly learned in the month of January that one of the ways in which you get on the flight that the Lord has for you, you ride in the high places of the earth, is by pursuing and fulfilling purpose. So we've said a few things about that, but I really, in this messages, that these teachings that I'm going to do, I want to break it down. What are the particulars of that purpose, and how do we fulfill each of us? Every individual, every believer, how do we fulfill that purpose? So I'm going to do that. I'm not going to take too much at a time. And today, like I said, I won't give you a lot of scriptures, but I think when I come back by God's grace next week, hopefully, I'll start giving scriptures to some of these things. Today, I'm just going to give you a rundown. There are 7 different areas that I have identified. The Holy Spirit has helped me identify over the years. Major areas where you can say, okay, these are the check boxes. If I'm fulfilling purpose, the purpose of God for my life, then in these 7 areas, this is how it should look. This is how it should play out. And all of this is in the Word of God. All of this obviously is founded in the Word and is strongly taught in the Word. So that's what I want us to do. And then, so I'll devote a little time to that today. And then towards the end, I'm going to go back and we're going to do something with Club 100. Especially, I want to play put up a video and put up our book that we are printing right now in India. Talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to pray over it as that begins to go through that nation. Amen. All right, so let's read. Let's get in the Word. 30 minutes. Somebody help me, time me. Once I hit 30 minutes, just raise your hands. I'm going to stop right there. Actually, I hope I don't get to 30, if possible. But you know how it goes, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you read that from verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There's a time to be a babe in the kingdom of God and in the things of God, and there is a time to grow and to become mature. No believer should remain a babe forever. Amen. In fact, in one scripture in Hebrews, Paul said, I wanted to say some things to you, but I couldn't, because you still can't get past that place where all you can have is just the simple. There's nothing wrong with the simple word, the simple milk of the word, the sincere milk of the word. But at some point, we're supposed to grow beyond that so that we can take steps. Purpose is essentially, you know, one of the messages we'll talk about, how being on a diet of purpose from when you come into Christ and all of that. But at some point, you grow old enough where you start living for purpose. And this is what this is about. You start taking steps, living for purpose. He goes on in verse 5. If you were with us this past Wednesday, these scriptures sound very familiar, because this is where I started from last week Wednesday. Verse 5, you also as lively stones, the Amplified says, living stones, you are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are a living stone. When you are born again, you are called into Christ. That's why we call it the body of Christ. It's a body and it's a house. It's a spiritual house. And Peter said unto them, you are living stones. Built, in the Amplified, said, built into a spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does that mean? So that, it means the purpose for which you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, is so that you should show forth. The purpose is that you and I will show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love it in this scripture again because I'm rushing for time. I'm not rushing for time, but I don't want to spend much time this morning. But in between those scriptures that I read, in between verse 2 and verse 5, and in between verse 5 and verse 9, it describes Jesus as precious. It describes Jesus as the precious cornerstone. As a matter of fact, when he says in verse 5, we are living stones, in verse 4, he said Jesus was the first living stone. He is the precious, the Bible calls him. The Bible calls him a precious. And then in verse 6, he said, therefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes in him will never be ashamed, will never be confounded. We are a part of this precious cornerstone. We are an integral part of this precious cornerstone. He is the first precious one, and then God made the rest of us precious just like him. He called him a peculiar, a precious, peculiar people. That's how we are described, precious and peculiar. So that we must show forth the praises of him. You look at the story of creation from the very beginning, you see that God, when he made man, he created man with a number of peculiar things. When he created that garden and put him there, him and him as in man and woman, put them there in that garden, he created them with a number of peculiarities in that garden. Hallelujah. And those peculiarities are not different from our peculiarities, what makes us so special to the Lord. Is a peculiar origin. Everyone God makes, everyone God creates, everyone God sends to the earth is sent with a peculiar origin. All of us have a peculiar origin. You came from a place. Nobody determined where they came from. Nobody determined where they were born. Nobody determined who gave birth to them. You simply came out of that peculiar arrangement. And that's a part of God's purpose for your life, a part of your destiny. You're peculiar. Then you were made and settled in a peculiar environment. The Lord endowed you with certain peculiar resources, like he gave Adam and Eve, then you were given a peculiar, unique mandate, like he gave Adam and Eve in the garden. This is what I want you to do, he said to them in the garden. Then you were given peculiar boundaries, unique boundaries, like roadmaps, to help them stay within the arena, the jurisdiction within which he wanted them to operate. He created that garden and put a hedge around it, put so that they could live and enjoy the fullness of that garden. And every time when he met with them, he came to meet them in the garden. When God was coming to meet with them, he didn't always have to ask, I wonder where they are today. He knew where they were. He knew exactly where they were. Peculiar. Everything about a believer is peculiar. And then he gave them peculiar companionships. Peculiar companionships. That is, he chose certain people to walk with each and every one of his creation. Peculiar companionships. And then he gave them a peculiar order in their lives and in those relationships. He gave them a peculiar order. And he told them, if you want to see good and if you want to do well, follow this peculiar order and all will be well with you. I know in the world we live in, especially in our generation, people don't like to be told certain things. And they don't like to be told, this is how the law will have you do it. They call it being free-spirited. Everybody just determines what they think. Well, you can do that if you want. All of us are free and we have the liberty to do that if we want. But remember, God said, I said before you, life and death, choose what?
Life.
Choose life. So, the peculiar order in life and relationships that the Lord gave us will enable us to enjoy life. If we say, no, I don't like that, all of that, you know, I don't like that, the way that way. I just want to do it free-spirited. Well, you can. You just won't have all that the Lord has prepared for you. And then finally, he gave them a unique, peculiar destiny. These were all the peculiar things that the Lord gave them. Now, I want to give you these seven aspects. Everything I was reading out to is just the unique characteristics of your creation, my creation, how God made man and every believer. But these seven predetermined particulars of your purpose, I want to give you that list, and that's all I want to do in this service. I'm not going to elaborate or give scriptures. I'm just going to give you that list and then trust God that next week we can dig a little further into it. So if you are joining us at home, I hope you have something to write, unless you're planning to go back and listen to the message afterwards. Most people who are here, they are busy doing different things, but at the same time they are writing. So write this one. You can, you know, as we go along, you can go study some of these things out for yourself and see whether it is so or not. Amen. Amen. So the very first, the predetermined particulars of your purpose, the very first particular of your purpose is every one of us, we are supposed to give our lives to Christ. So number one, give your life to Christ and make him the center of your life. This is the first requirement for fulfilling purpose. Give your life to Christ and make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. That is where everything begins. That is where everything begins. Give your life to Christ and make him the center of your life. I will not elaborate much. But remember, every time God renews covenant, every time God starts, he gives a new beginning. The new beginning is always the beginning of his covenant, like he was in the Garden of Eden, like he was with Adam and Eve. Jesus is the new beginning for mankind. Jesus is the new beginning. Say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So give your life to Christ, Make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. That's the essence of our lives. That's the essence of our being. You are on earth. Did I say on earth? When I read you the title of that message, did I put on earth? I have on earth in parentheses. Did I say on earth? All right. That's the original reason why you are on earth. Is to cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. We are human beings, not human doings. I know you may have heard this before, but this is the truth. Your primary assignment for being on earth cannot be what you do. It must be who you are. We are human beings. So cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. Be like him. Be with him. That's who we are. That's the origin. That's the most important purpose or aspect of our purpose on earth. Let me read that one more time here. Give your life to Christ. Make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. I know many of us who are listening to this message today have already done. We're taking steps to do that. We're continuing to do that. So that is great. The second predetermined particular of your purpose, number two, this may sound like the first one, but they are different. Make Jesus your Lord and Master. Make Jesus your Lord and Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Sometimes I thought that's the same thing as the first one, like give your life to Christ, you know, make him the center of your life. Very, very familiar, but very similar, but not exactly the same. It's a difference between accepting, for instance, a child can say to a parent, you are my father, you are my mother. But at the same time, a time may come when that child needs to allow the parent to do what the parent do in the life of the child. And the child can say, yeah, you're my father, you're my mother, but I really would rather right now want to be my own father and my own mother. I'm talking child, not adult, child. Right? You can say, yeah, you're dad. Yes, you're mom. So you buy me clothes, you buy me shoes, you pay for these and you pay for that. And then dad and mom can say, all right, we want you to, every Wednesday, we want you to do your assignment. No games, no TV, no Wednesdays, assignment, and all other days. You know, some say, I like that, just one day in the week. No, then my parents will choose their days. I'm just giving you a loose example here. And the parent might say, I want you to give Wednesday. And you can say, no, but Wednesday is the day for basketball. No, I don't want to do that on Wednesday. I want to do, but no, well, then you have accepted them as father and mother, but you have not accepted them as your head. They're two different things. So number two, make Jesus your Lord and your Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Number three, find your place of consistent service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. Find your place of consistent service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. There must be no unemployed believer in the kingdom of God. There must be no unemployed believer in the kingdom of God. There must be certain things that you do in the body of Christ that will not go on as smoothly without you. You must have some indispensable place of service and calling in the body of Christ to which you are devoted. And when you are not doing that, the body feels it. The body feels it. It's a part of your purpose. There is no unemployed Christian in the body of Christ. If, and I know this is a good message for America, because in our nation here, we believe a lot in, again, you know, just flowing in and flowing out and, you know, doing it as it's convenient. If that's how you are living, you are not fulfilling purpose. There must be some things in the body of Christ, whatever, whether people see it or not, there must be some things in the body of Christ that you are responsible for. It's an area of service. You do it, and because you do it, and you do it so well, the body is whole. And whenever you choose not to do it, the body suffers. It's an area of service. An area of calling. Every child of God is called. Some say, oh, but Pastor, I thought only people who preach behind the pulpit are called. Well, that's why you're listening to this message today. Because that's not true. If you've ever heard that anywhere, you were deceived. I thought some people who stand behind the pulpit and preach like every week, they are the ones who are called. The rest of us, we are just, you know, we're here just to fill the space. No, that's not true. All of us, we are called the body of Christ. We all have indispensable roles. There must be something you are responsible for in the body of Christ. If there's nothing you are responsible for in the body of Christ, which if you are pulled out of that thing will not prosper as well as it usually does. If there is no such thing, you want to check it because you are not fulfilling purpose. You are not fulfilling purpose. Nobody in the body of Christ is called to be a pew warmer, a bench warmer. You just go in every week and sit down, warm the pews. There's no such arrangement in the body of Christ. God said to Adam and Eve, this is what I want you to do. He gave them assignment in the garden. This is what I want you to do. And that assignment was their peculiar assignment, their unique assignment, and that assignment required them to be devoted to it. If they didn't do it, that garden would stop being a garden. It will become a wilderness. Amen. Number four. What are we talking about today? Predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. Amen. Number four, find God's purpose for your life's vocation and your work and commit to it. Find God's purpose for your life's vocation and your work and commit to it. That is your vocation, whatever you do. Now, if you've been here since Watch Night Service, you've heard me say a lot about this. In different messages now. Whatever your profession is, whatever your career is, whatever your vocation, whatever your work is that you do, that you say that's the channel through which I get my living, your job. Find God's purpose for that job. At each point in time, every season in your life, regardless of what the job is or what your particular vocation is in that, there is a purpose, there is a reason God has you in that place. God does not believe in this attitude that a lot of people have, where they act as though their jobs are just placeholders. You know, that's what I'm just doing right now, you know, until something else opens up. That is not the plan of God for you. It may be true that what you are currently doing is a bridge to the next thing that God has for you. But even that bridge has a purpose. It has a purpose. There's, if that bridge is 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, there's some things you are supposed to do there. Some people are always deferring this thing about, you know, yeah, when I get to that dream position, dream job, dream business. The one you are doing right now is your dream. That's today is the day that the Lord has given you. That dream one for the future, praise the Lord, he would sustain you, he will carry you there. But tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. The Lord said, I'll keep you. But you know, part of what enables him to actually keep us and help us get there is our faithfulness where we are today. You can't use what you are doing right now as a step, a stepping stone to get to where you really want to go, as though what you are doing right now does not matter. You know, a lot of ministers do that. A lot of people who are serving God say, you know, this one is just, I'm just using this, this is just my training ground. But I'm really looking at the you know, I'll never forget, for the life of me, I'll never, you know, these are things you learn on your journey. For so many, after I first went into the ministry, I'm not supposed to elaborate on these things, but after I first went into the ministry, when was that? 1990 was the first time I committed to the ministry, and I went into it full time. It was just a ministry, serving and doing different things and all of that. But, you know, for almost 10 years after that first step I took, I always used to think, oh, you know, this is just training ground. I'm actually going to be doing a ministry at some point. And I remember one time the Lord was so merciful to me. He said, son, if you don't regard what you are doing right now as the ministry, you will never get to that ministry. I said, okay then. Let's get busy then, right? We better get busy. Because that's what a lot of people think. They think, well, I'm just doing this for now. But the real thing is like, and they have this, and it's good, that's good. Keep that dream and keep that vision. I believe in vision. I'll talk to you about it later on. But the one you are called to do right now, do it with all your heart. So find God's purpose for your life's vocation and work, job, and commit to it. Number five, I know I'm almost out of time here, but I'm almost done today. Praise God. Number five, do your part. What are we talking about? The predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. We're taking one by one, all together, seven of them, that we call the particulars of your purpose, the predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. Number five, do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you deem appropriate. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you and God deem appropriate, you and God agree on. But notice the first statement there, do your part and pay your vows. You owe the kingdom of God. You and I owe the kingdom of God. Amen. Somebody paid to get the kingdom to us. We must pay to get the kingdom to somebody else. We owe it. We owe it. I know many times, many of us could relate with our giving, especially the areas of tithe and offering, which is really those are. But there are so many other areas of giving, you know, first fruits and pledges and vows. And you know, everything, though, is a vow. Everything is a vow. Because we owe it. And when you take that pledge of allegiance, I give Jesus Christ my life today to be my Lord and my Savior forever and ever. I will serve him with all my life until he calls me home to heaven or until he returns to take me. When you take that pledge of allegiance, what you are saying in essence is, as the Lord does his part, you will do your part. As the Lord does his part, you will do. and financially. If you heard me say this during the watch night service, I gave a little bit of time to where the Lord gave me some liberty that night to talk about it, vows. And I said, vows not just what you said, oh, I will do this and that. Vows is, it's already an agreement. Every dollar, every naira, every cedi, every rupee, every pound sterling, every whatever, think of all the different, every euro, think about all the different currencies. Every single unit of those currencies that come into our lives, they came because of God's goodness. Is that my alarm? Have I done 30 minutes then? Is that my alarm? Okay. They came because of the goodness of the Lord, and because the Lord gave that to us, there's a part of it He wants us to give back. Every single dollar. Every single dollar is worked into our agreement, is worked into our pledge, is worked into our covenant, is worked. Think about it. It's worked in there. When God asked for sacrifices from the people of old, the priests and all those people who did sacrifices, let's just use Noah, for example, as a point of emphasis. When God required sacrifices, they were not supposed to create those animals. They were already animals that God created. It was God who created the animals. They were just supposed to take those animals and sacrifice them. And they were supposed to take the best of them. They were not supposed to take the ones with the broken legs, the ones with the one partial blind eye, the ones that, is sick somewhere. This one is sick. Let's just give him to the Lord. They actually did that at some point. And the Lord told them, he says, no, I can't take this from you. He created those. And I want you to think about it when you think about the analogy of giving. Anything we have, he gave us. Anything we have, he gave us. Somebody say amen. So what's that number five again? Do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you deem appropriate. Number six, do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. Get ready. This is part of fulfilling purpose. Do not live on earth as though this is our final home. We have an eternal home. Amen. We have an eternal home. Earth is actually just, we're passing through. This is a transitory place. Do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. I don't know about you, but every now and then, I get to think about heaven. I just think about heaven. And I think about how beautiful. I'm not ready to go yet. I trust God for many more years to be able to do my assignment. But every now and then, I get flashes of how beautiful heaven will be. It's already beautiful, but I think how beautiful it will be when I get there to experience it. When I think about heaven, I think about how the fullness of humanity can come into their full, the perfection of their potential. Full knowledge, full awareness, full grace, full glory. The Bible describes the body of man as being vile in Ephesians. He says, or in Romans, or one of them, he says he's going to change our vile bodies. I think about that all the time. One day soon, we won't have these vile bodies anymore. I mean, no matter how much these bodies are blessed, no matter how much God preserves them and God renews them and God helps us keep them, He renews our youth and all of that. The process of aging is a given, is guaranteed. Sooner than later, age. And the Lord can do a lot to stretch it for us. And he can keep us 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 120 years. But at some point, this body just can't move anymore. Can't go. Can't do the things it used to do anymore. Have you thought about the fact that one day when we get to heaven, oh my, there'll be no cracks, there'll be no pain, hallelujah, no sickness, no disease, the full potential of everything that God has given to us. We will know everything. We will have limitless understanding. I'm sure it's 30 minutes already. That is going to happen when we get to heaven. It's going to happen when we get to heaven. Suddenly we will get there and find out we have no weaknesses. Every day we go to bed, we wake up with our weaknesses. Every single day. It's like a baggage we have to carry with us. But when we get to heaven, there'll be no weaknesses. Hallelujah. We'll be like little babies that will never die. Little babies that will never die. So do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. Oh, there's such a deep teaching about this in the Word of God. I gotta close. And sometimes, though, I know the body of Christ, believers, sometimes get confused and they mix up a lot of things. And this has always happened, you know. You'd hear sometimes there are teachings going on about people even say, oh, you know, the second coming, the Lord's second coming is going to be in 2025. You know, they've had that through the years. They've always predicted it's going to be this year, it's going to be that year, you know. And there's a lot of teaching in the Word of God that tells us how to actually prepare for His coming. How to hold on to the Word of God and to certain things in preparing for His coming. But to not be deceived to think He's coming in 2025. Because it may be 2025, or it may be earlier, or it may be later. But don't put your mind on 2025, like some people put their minds on 1973, and 1973 came, and it went, and the things they predicted still didn't happen, because it wasn't God who gave them those dates. Last year, some people predicted that, you know, they even used the elections to predict when the world is going to end. It wasn't God who gave them those prophecies. It was from their minds. So do your part in preparing for the Lord's return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. All right, this is the last point now. And I know I've hit 30 minutes already. This is my last point. Number 7. Last particular, make your biological family and your close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. This is one of the biggest ways to fulfill purpose on the earth. This is one of God's biggest dreams. The Bible says all families in heaven and earth are named after the Father. One of God's biggest dreams is to create families on earth that look like His family in heaven. Let me say this again. Make your biological family and your close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. Cultivate the culture of heaven and foster love, joy, and peace, and a balanced family life. And this is a mouthful, but let me say it again. Make your biological family and close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. Cultivate the culture of heaven and foster love, joy, and peace, and a balanced family life. No matter how anointed we are, no matter how committed we are, no matter how dedicated we are, if we are not reflecting God's family in heaven on the earth, we're missing God's purpose. if we are not reflecting the image of God's family in heaven on the earth, we're missing purpose. So foster love, joy, peace, and a balanced family life. The Lord will help us to come back to this next week and just scratch it a little bit more. I'll give you a couple scriptures here and there. And I'm not going to take too much time on it. I think it's most important that we get to the itemizing those particulars, those different areas, so we can see how do we actually fulfill the purpose of God for our lives right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Did you get something today? Yeah. Amen.